What do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things, as the angels do in heaven.
Question 103 addresses the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. So this is the end, if you will, of the first half of the Lord's Prayer. And we have so far seen that this first half, petitions 1 to 3 pertain to the things of God. Petitions 4 to 6 pertain to the things of men, ourself and others. So in the first petition, it's God's glory that we're praying for, things related to that. In the second petition, which we looked at last time, it was God's kingdom that we're praying for. And in the third petition, it's God's will. So God's will that we are praying for. And this, of course, is what question 103 is addressing. Now, when we talk about God's will, let's just do a little bit of background here, a little bit of review. The Bible and the Westminster Standards, the Confession and Catechisms, will speak about God's will in two ways. So there's two different things that we use the word will for, God's will. There's His revealed will. So we have God's revealed will on one hand, and we have His decreed will on the other. And we could also describe this in terms of His precepts and His providence. Right? So there, when we talk about God's revealed will, we're talking about Scripture, so the Bible, the 66 books of the canon. This provides us with a revelation or revealed content of what God desires, what He teaches us about Himself and about ourselves and the duty that is required of us. So here in the revealed will, God provides His precepts. Decreed will is referring to what is secret, right? So if this is revealed, unveiled to us, made known, we can open the Bible and see it, that's one thing. On the other side, we see something that's secret. This is in going back to the very beginning of the Catechism, God's decree. These are things which God has determined from eternity past that He will bring to pass. It's unchangeable, it's unalterable, it is fixed, determined by God Himself. And then we see the disclosure of that as it unfolds in history. God's decreed will is actually coming to pass in the context of God's providence. So both of these are there. And you'll see these two things related to each other in the very well-known text of Deuteronomy 29:29. Other places we can go, but this would be the one that comes first to mind for most people. So we're praying that God's will would be done. And there's a sense in which we're praying for both things here. We're praying both for God's revealed will to be done and His decreed will to be done. So we're asking that God would bring to pass what He has determined from eternity past, that He would bring that forward according to His own good pleasure. But we're also praying for His revealed will. We desire to see ourselves and the whole Bible, the whole world, conformed to the Bible. And so the emphasis, I think, here is on His revealed will in this particular petition. We're asking the Lord to bring these things to pass. Now, you can see that clearly in the Catechism, that they're understanding it to be the emphasis on His revealed will, because they say, by His grace, that God would make us able and willing to know and obey and submit to His will in all things as the angels do in heaven. So we're to know it and obey it and submit to it. We'll come back to that. And again, we can think here, by way of review, again, at the beginning of the catechism, there was a catechism question where we were addressing human will, and we gave you four categories that go back to the days of Augustine and are reflected in our confession, how in Eden, before the fall, man was able not to sin. And then after the fall, right, he's not able not to sin. And then after conversion, we'll put grace, after conversion, he is able to sin and not to sin. And then we saw in heaven, the believer is not able to sin. And so here, if you think in terms of these two categories here, we don't live in the days prior to the fall, and we haven't yet reached heaven. We have these two categories. And there's a distinction, if you will, between what we are by nature and what we are by grace, by God's grace, able to do. And so we're thinking in terms of our ability not to sin, to know and obey and submit to God's will as it's revealed to us in His Word. And so here we have, if you will, God's will that's made clear to us. And what we desire is for our will to be conformed. We want to have our will conformed to God's will. Samuel Rutherford had a very picturesque way of putting this. He was thinking in terms of providence, but he says, you know, faith is taking a blank piece of paper, giving it to the Lord and saying, "You write on it whatever you desire, Lord." To use a more contemporary parallel, we give the Lord a blank check and say, "You write whatever you will," and we'll submit to that. And so you can see both of these things are coming together. We want ourselves and others conformed to God's revealed will, and we want ourselves to be able to submit to God's decreed will. Both of those are to be accentuated here. Now, if you look at the catechism, when we're praying, "God's will be done," we're asking something how our will is going to be conformed to God's will. And it involves these different components. First of all, to know God's will. We're praying, "Lord, help us to understand and to have a knowledge of your will." In other words, we're ignorant and we need to be made wise. We need to come to understand the truth. We need to grow in spiritual discernment. We need the Lord to provide us with biblically defined understanding. And so we're saying, "Lord, help us to understand your word." And part of the Christian life, part of our maturity, is moving from one degree of ignorance to greater degrees of knowledge. There are things that we didn't understand about the Bible, about what God has required of us. And over the course of our life, we're taught the scriptures, and we have unfolded for us things that we didn't previously understand. And so it's an answer to prayer. The Lord's helping us to see how we are to glorify Him, how we are to please Him. So we're to know it. We're also praying that we will be able to obey it. You remember how often the Lord tells us we're not only to be hearers of the Word, we come to understand something, but also doers of the Word, James 1. Or you think of Christ at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He gives us this picture of those who build their house upon the rock and those who build their house upon the sand. The storms come. Those built upon the rock, the house stands. Those built upon sand is washed away. And Jesus says that his point is, blessed are those who both hear the word and do it, who obey it. They'll be like those whose house is built upon the rock. And so we're asking that the Lord would help us to, in conforming our will to His, to obey what He's revealed to us in the Bible. Lord, help us by Your grace to be doers of the Word. The third thing is to submit to His will. Now, if we're thinking in terms of His revealed will, we need to come under what God has required of us. We don't chafe against it. We don't fight against it or resist it. But when God's Word is being brought to our conscience, to our souls, we are desirous to be molded by it, right? So, again, the language of James is that we would receive the engrafted Word with meekness. So there's a meek spirit that is willing to receive the Word of God and to submit ourselves to it. That means being willing to repent of sins that we're being convicted of, and owning that God is right and just in confronting us for those sins. It means that we're willing as well to follow the course that the Lord has charted for us in His Word. So we're going to follow Christ. We're going to take up our cross every day. We're going to deny ourselves, for example. That's submission to God's Word. We can think in terms of submission as well to His decreed will, right? This is a whole other point. But God, in the unfolding of His providence, brings things into our life. There'll be afflictions, there'll be trials, there'll be disappointments. There'll be many things that confuse us. And we could become agitated, you know, angry because things are not going our way. We're not in control. And that is a failure to submit to God's will, His sovereign unfolding of His will. We want things our way rather than God's way. We need to submit. So when things fall out in ways that we didn't expect or desire, we come under them. We let the Lord have His way and believe and trust Him and exercise faith and have that meek and quiet spirit, which is so precious in the sight of God. And so we are to know, obey, and submit to God's will in all things. So not just in selectively the things that we especially find easy or desirable or attractive to us, but all things. Now notice that the last thing that we're told is that we're to do this as the angels. We're to be praying that we would be able to do it as the angels in heaven do it. As the angels do it. So we look at the angels in heaven. They, of course, are sinless. They're unable to sin. They're in terms of parallel with ourselves, they would be in a similar state here. Their will is not able to sin. So there's a sinless conformity to God's will that can be seen in the angelic beings. And so we're praying, Lord, help us to know, obey, and submit in all things, even as the angels in heaven do. So in the words of the text, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the idea. That's why as angels, that language is incorporated here. We want God's will on earth to be done even as it is in heaven. In heaven, it's done perfectly and sinlessly, and there's no opposition, as it were, to it. And we're praying, let that become more and more the case here on earth with ourselves and with others. But God has to make us able, right? God has to make us able not to sin. So, Lord, please give us that ability. Make us able and willing to do these things. So with the angels, there's a humility before the Lord. There's a cheerfulness in obeying His word. There's a diligence in obeying God's will. There's a zeal in carrying out God's will. There's a constancy in carrying out God's will. All of that, right? The humility, cheerfulness, diligence, zeal, constancy, these all are reflected and the service of the angels before God. And so we're praying, Lord, make that more and more the case for our will and the will of others upon earth, that we too would be more and more conformed to your will. And so here in this first half of the Lord's Prayer, we're taking God's interests and we're putting the priority there. Whatever else we pray for, we're praying for things that are nearest and dearest to God Himself. God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will. That's where the onus, the priority, the emphasis is placed in our prayers. And so at the end of this third petition, we see that here being reinforced for us. Question 103, what do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things, as the angels do in heaven.